But without the power of choosing, you can't be free. I may have any number of options before me, but my hands are tied, my feet are tied, my purse is tied. Isn't it? So merely presentation of options is not enough. I should have the power to opt. Now, even if I have the power, then what do you do? There is still a third condition to be fulfilled. If I still choose one, and if somebody asks me the question, why you chose this one instead of so many others which are present? And if I say, it was because it was the right choice. If you say that I chose because it was the right choice, if you say this, it means you are not free. Because the rightness of that attract compel you to choose it. Now this is another question. If you are in a situation where you can say, as long as you say that this was right as against that one, you are still not free. Unless you can say that I had several options, each one of which was right, and yet I chose this one, then you can say still that you disregarded others which were not right, and you chose any one of these one. So at least you had two sets, and you chose only from one set, not from the other set. So you are not yet free. Because you had a reason to choose, because it is right, as against another set in which everything was not right. So still you are not free. Where then does that freedom lie? So now I come to the last point. Pardon? Pardon?
When you
renounce. If you renounce, you are not capable of choice. Therefore, you are not free. You should be capable of choice. That is also the condition of freedom. You should be capable of choice. And you renounce only because you cannot make a choice here. You are perplexed to choose or this. So even that is not freedom. But that means you are compelled by thoughtlessness. You are compelled by thoughtlessness. See, even that is not freedom. So, freedom is possible only on one condition. You have before you any number of choices or options, all choices, all possible choices. That's the first condition. Secondly, you should be capable of choosing any one of them. Thirdly, Only if all the choices are equally good. If one choice is better than the other, then you are bound. It is only if all the choices which are present are equally good, not better. If all choices are equally good, and now there is no compulsion to have this or that. As you rightly said, you just take anything. Only use thoughtlessly. But here, thoughtfully, you know that you can take this or that or that. But for what reason? For no other reason excepting I want to take it. Not for any reason. Simply because that is the exercise of my freedom. Freedom in itself. It is only in that condition that you can say you are free. Now, according to this Upanishad, such a freedom exists. And that's the important doctrine, important secret. Such a freedom exists. There is a will which is capable of confronting any possible option. There is a will which can choose and choose freely because all options are equally good. That will is called the real free will. And Upanishad says such a free will exists. And Upanishad says that basically each one of us is in this world as it is because you have freely chosen to be here. Even before you came here on this earth, you, this is what I am saying, what is you? According to Upanishad, which knows you thoroughly well, because this is the book of knowledge, it has made a good study of each one of us. What is individual? What is you? It knows our past, present and future. That's why it is called a book of knowledge. It's a book of science. It's not merely conjecture or belief or faith or dogma. Not at all. This Upanishad speaks with a full knowledge of what you are and says, you are here in this world because you have chosen freely to be here. You had a possibility of not being here. And not being here or being here were equally good. It's not that to be here was better than that. No. To be here or not to be here were equally good. And yet you chose. But without the power of choosing, you can't be free. I may have any number of options before me, but my hands are tied, my feet are tied, my purse is tied. Isn't it? So merely presentation of options is not enough. I should have the power.
to opt.
Now, even if I have the power, then what do you do? There is still a third condition to be fulfilled. If I still choose one, and if somebody asks me the question, why you chose this one instead of so many others which are present? And if I say, it was because it was the right choice. If you say that I chose because it was the right choice, if you say this, it means you are not free. Because the rightness of that attract compel you to choose it. Now this is another question. If you are in a situation where you can say, as long as you say that this was right as against that one, you are still not free. Unless you can say that I had several options, each one of which was right, and yet I chose this one, then you can say still that you disregarded others which were not right, and you chose any one of this one. So at least you had two sets, and you chose only from one set, not from the other set. So you are not yet free. Because you had a reason to choose, because it is right, as against another set in which everything was not right. So still you are not free. Where then does that freedom lie? So now I come to the last point. Pardon? Pardon?
When you renounce.
Renounce. If you renounce, you are not capable of choice. Therefore you are not free. You should be capable of choice. That is also the condition of freedom. You should be capable of choice. And you renounce only because you cannot make a choice here. You are perplexed to choose or this. So even that is not freedom. But that means you are compelled by thoughtlessness. You are compelled by thoughtlessness. See, even that is not freedom. So, freedom is possible only on one condition. You have before you any number of choices or options. All choices, all possible choices. That's the first condition. Secondly, you should be capable of choosing any one of them. Thirdly, only if all the choices are equally good. If one choice is better than the other, then you are bound. It is only if all the choices which are present are equally good, not better. If all choices are equally good, And now there is no compulsion to have this or that. As you rightly said, you just take anything. Only use thoughtlessly. But here, thoughtfully, you know that you can take this or that or that. But for what reason? For no other reason, excepting I want to take it. Not for any reason. Simply because that is the exercise of my freedom. Freedom in itself. It is only in that condition that you can say you are free. Now, according to this Upanishad, such a freedom exists. And that's the important doctrine, important secret. Such a freedom exists. There is a will which is capable of confronting any possible option. There is a will which can choose and choose freely because all options are equally good. That will is called the real free will. And Upanishad says such a free will exists. And Upanishad says that basically each one of us is in this world as it is because you have freely chosen to be here. Even before you came here on this earth, you, this is what I am saying, what is you? According to Upanishad, which knows you thoroughly well, because this is the book of knowledge, it has made a good study of each one of us. What is individual? What is you? It knows our past, present and future. That's why it is called a book of knowledge. It's a book of science. It's not merely conjecture or belief or faith or dogma. Not at all. This Upanishad speaks with a full knowledge of what you are and says, you are here in this world because you have chosen freely to be here. You had a possibility of not being here. And not being here or being here were equally good. It's not that to be here was better than that, no. To be here or not to be here were equally good. And yet you chose.